Now, the Victorian government says it's brokered a deal to scrap one of Australia's biggest infrastructure projects, the East-West Road Link we were just talking about with Matthias Cormann. But it's long been controversial. Contracts were signed in the dying days of the previous coalition government, and Labor went to the last election with a plan to scrap it. But still, the payout of $339 million is quite high, and it's making many people concerned. Joining us now to discuss the announcement is Victoria's Treasurer Tim Pallas. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Patricia.
Now, you said no compensation paid to the East-West Consortium, but there's $339 million going their way. How can you claim that's not compensation? It looks exactly like compensation to me.
Well, under the agreement, the state will purchase the companies in the consortium, their East-West Link project company, for $1. All assets owned by the project company will transfer to the state. Now, before the last election, in the dying days, without a mandate and without even telling Victorians about the true business case and the true cost of this project, access to not only the contracts but the funding flowing from the financial close of these arrangements, close to $500 million was drawn down by the consortium. Now, what happened was some of that money will be returned to the state, but $339 million of that, which is a net cost, has been drawn down and paid to the consortium for bid processes, for design and pre-construction. So that's for costs. And these costs have been incurred and can't be retrieved. They'll be retained by the consortium subject, I might add, to a certification process that proves that these are real costs. But this is not $1 of compensation. This is simply the money that the previous government, in their haste and their willingness to basically poison pill the Victorian economy and reject the right of the people of Victoria to express a view, they let the money out the door.
Now you...
and we've effectively protected as much of that money that's already left as we can.
You've been accused of ducking questions about the actual costs of this project. Opposition leader Matthew Guy says beyond the money for the consortium and the line of credit, there's at least another $400 million in buying land, project development and other costs. Are you grossly underestimating the full cost of getting out this contract, getting out of this contract?
Look, the opposition are talking nonsense. And let me demonstrate exactly how puerile their commentary is. I produced today in Parliament a letter from the Secretary of the Department of Treasury and Finance that identified the true cost of the East-West Link project. The letter explains that DTF can confirm that the nominal cost of the project over 30 years would have been $10.7 billion. Now, the previous government assured Victorians it was $6.8 billion. Now, that's a $4.4 billion blowout that apparently the opposition don't want to justify to Victorians.
Victorian Treasurer Tim Pallas, this doesn't really change this, which is that The government is now spending $339 million on a road that isn't going to be built. Now, given the financial constraints we're seeing this country in, both federally and at a state level, the problems we're seeing in mental health and homelessness, how can you possibly justify spending that much money on something that will never happen?
Well, I don't know. You need to ask the previous government why they signed contracts without lawful authority to do it and why they allowed...
But you knew they were doing it at the time. You knew they were doing it at the time.
We told them that we wouldn't honour the contracts at the time. We told Victorians that they would actually get a choice, and we gave them that choice, and they voted. You recall that Tony Abbott described this as a referendum, the state election, a referendum on East-West. Well, the vote's in, and it was pretty clear what Victorians wanted. They didn't want us to proceed, and let me correct your comment. We are not paying 1 cent. All we are doing is allowing the consortium to keep certain parts of money that they drew down.
Is it true that $339 million will now not be available to Victorian taxpayers because it's going to the consortium? Is that true?
It's true. And might I also say it's true that literally billions of dollars of allocated capital that would have been directed to this project is now available to Victorians for the projects that they voted for.
And so your argument then is that the mandate, you have a mandate because you went to the last state election with the promise of getting rid of this and that Victorians will cop it.
That's the way democracy works, Patricia. Yep. When people are given a very clear choice, and as the Prime Minister said, a referendum on the issue, they get to have some confidence and certainty that the people they elected will do the things that they said they would do, and we have done it. Not one cent of compensation. We've resolved these issues in a way that is satisfactory to the French government, to the Spanish government, and to Standard & Poor's. And might I say, the ratings agency therefore are assuring us that the AAA credit rating for Victoria is safe and assured.
My guest, rather, on RN Drive is Tim Pallas, the Victorian Treasurer, joining us on RN Drive. Our text number is 0418 226 576, or you can tweet us at RN Drive. Now, one of the consortium, Lendlease, says this is a non-binding deal. What exactly is a non-binding deal? It sounds kind of flimsy to me.
Oh, no, it's a pretty comprehensive heads of agreement, but it's true to say that what we've struck here is a indication that we are going to draw up contractual terms that pick up the heads of agreement. And the formal contractual arrangements will take somewhere, according to the agreement, between 1 and 3 months to finally resolve. But that really is all constrained by the very substantial conditions attaching to how those negotiations will proceed. Essentially, what we are in agreement is the numbers that we've put out publicly are the numbers that effectively reflect the contribution that will not be able to be clawed back from drawn down funds that were taken from the consortium. There are still some issues the state has to work through, and most notably we want the consortium to justify the costs that they've actually put to appropriate use, the money that they've drawn down. And we also have discussions that we need to work through with the banks about repurposing, refinancing and reallocating the value of the loan facility, the credit facility that they provided to the previous consortium that we intend to use to build Melbourne Metro.
Now, I want to move to the GST, if I can, because this is another big issue on your agenda. On the GST meeting in 2 days' time, it looks like WA will get some of the compensation it's seeking. The federal government's making some noises there. What would be your response if that was the case?
Well, that would be disastrous for our federation. Let's be very clear. The GST processes, which are spelled out by the Loans Council, spell out pretty clearly the criteria that are appropriately attached to the provision of GST. The states, or every state, has some point of concern with the way the criteria has worked, and Victoria, of course, only get about 89¼ cents in every dollar that's invested on a per capita basis. But despite all those grievances, we essentially have to accept the outcome. Seven in eight, Patricia, have all accepted the outcome of this process. Only one, West Australia, who actually profited very substantially from the processes associated with the GST assessment analysis over the years, are now complaining.
To renegotiating the rules by which the Grants Commission makes its recommendations for the carve-up of the GST revenue?
Not in the context of sorting West Australia's problem out at the moment, but we're always open to reviewing the way the GST operates in a prospective sense. The important point to bear here is if there is a problem under the West Australian government's budget, as opposed to the GST, then that is a bilateral matter that they need to work out with the federal government. Not even New South Wales, who stood to profit more under the let's freeze the GST at the 14-15 levels, as advocated by Matthias Cormann, even they, who stood to profit by more than $500 million, had the courage of their conviction and said, we are not going to pervert the independent processes of the GST. And I'll tell you, the state of Victoria will not, and we would see this as being a gross abuse of process. After all, this is a state tax, Patricia, and if it turns into the plaything, the political plaything of Joe Hockey and Tony Abbott to disadvantage principally Queensland, Victoria and South Australia, all Labor states, and might I say Tasmania is collateral damage as well, gives a massive and unjustified benefit to New South Wales, and then a lesser but similar benefit to West Australia, around about $450 million, that would be seen for what it is, purely political and without any justification.
Thank you so much for joining me on RN Drive.
My pleasure.
And that's Victorian Treasurer Tim Pallas there. And I should say that we were due to speak to opposition leader Matthew Guy, who was also Victoria's planning minister at the time the East-West Link project was announced, and was certainly on radio often spruiking the project, but he was caught up in Parliament and couldn't join us tonight. We thought it would be fair to have a pretty balanced discussion, but he was unable to join us.